Well, thank you so much. I'm absolutely delighted to be joining you for lunch today. Can I start by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land of the Turrbal and Yagara people and pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. I also want to acknowledge the skills and knowledge that they have passed down for over 3,000 generations, and I think it's important that we continue to elevate this knowledge and ensure that we continue to pass it down to future generations. And I also acknowledge Alex Badenoff from Telstra. It was wonderful to catch up today, and I look forward to continuing these discussions about what is incredibly challenging but important policy area. Clint O'Brien, the team at CETA, thanks for having me back. And can I also acknowledge everyone here from my Department of Employment, Small Business and Training. They do all the hard work so that I can talk to you about what we're doing, so it's great to see them here. Thank you again for having me today to outline the Coalition State Government's plans to support Queenslanders to build the skills they need for the jobs of the future. And as we push ahead into this new decade, there is no doubt that the nature of work is changing. Where we work, the way we work, what we will do for work, and the standard of living that the work will provide are fundamental questions that all policymakers are grappling with. Our future work will be driven by blockchain technology, augmented reality, and artificial intelligence, and the challenge is to harness this technology to drive productivity and growth and at the same time improve living standards across the country. We aren't the first generation to have experienced technological change, and even in some of our traditional industries, the concepts of lifelong learning and upskilling and reskilling aren't new. Take my dad, Eric, for example. Dad worked as a carpenter. He attended the technical college, which is now QT, and did his apprenticeship back in the 60s. My dad is totally old school. If you Google a bloke with a leather tool belt, I'm sure you'll probably find an image of him. But over the years growing up, I saw him having to evolve and adapt. I saw a traditional tradie having to keep up with the times. And he didn't fight it. And in fact, he was always the first to step up, take on more responsibility, work and learn his skills, whether it was having to study to get his workplace health and safety qualifications when he became foreman on the construction site, or basic bookkeeping to get his VAT statements. There was always new technology, equipment, machinery and tools which required upskilling and training. So my dad really is the epitome of the traditional trade. I mean, he still writes in block letters, like he's very old school, but I watched him adapt to the changes in his industry. So our industries and workers aren't new to change, it's just that the change is now happening so much faster and on a much larger scale than ever before. And as policy makers, legislators, business leaders, we all have a responsibility to prepare for disruption and manage this workplace transformation to ensure that no worker is left behind. Earlier this month, I visited Ambrose Building on the Sunshine Coast. They started as a traditional building repairs company run by builder Brett and his wife, Melissa. But when I walked through the front doors of the business, more computer screens on the walls than the emergency services headquarters at Kedron, I certainly didn't recognise this workplace as a building company, and I'm sure my dad would not have either. Their customised job management system now allows them to automate an estimated 80,000 processes per day and to rapidly ramp up their operations during an emergency. They've reduced the average period of time to repair a damaged property days to just 16. Every industrial revolution has signaled tremendous shifts in workforce requirements. Each time, workforce participation and employment has increased, not decreased, as a result of the change. And Ambrose Building are a great example of that. Despite all of the technology they've implemented, the company still relies on traditional tradies on the ground doing repairs. The technology has simply allowed them to reduce their time to be more responsive and productive, and the traditional tradies have learned how to use iPads. But the building now has over 140 employees, engages with 2,000 contractors across Queensland on a daily basis. So our government is drawing on examples like school that called the Skills of Learning. Under the leadership of Professor Calder, Job Queensland initiated independent research, data analysis and policy work to help us do this planning, and they have explored what the future of work will look like in 2030. Future work for jobs has made Queensland the evolution of work report, as mentioned, was released last year. The good news is that Job Queensland identified that the overall outlook for employment right across Queensland is strong. As Alex mentioned, they did conclude that business as usual is not an option. I'm pleased to say we absolutely accept that conclusion, and in fact, we've accepted all of their recommendations in the report. So the report found that, one, change is inevitable, but we can manage transitions. Two, skills drive economic and social prosperity. Three, access to quality work is essential. Four, place-based leadership creates stronger regions. Lastly, lifelong learning and skills attainment underpin Queensland's future. So our 2030 vision is one that caters to the transition to the Queensland economy, providing for more jobs and more industries. And we're already investing in the skills to drive this transformation. Earlier this month, I opened the new Rural Centre of Excellence at the Tulsa Tech. The agricultural industry supports over 300,000 jobs here in Queensland, and the sector has undergone many transformations in workforce demands. Every previous technological revolution has left it fundamentally transformed, and this one will be no different. With advancing technologies and impacts of climate change, our challenge is equipping future ag workers with the training to meet these challenges. Our $2.7 million Rural Centre of Excellence opens up these training opportunities. Video analysis of stock, simulated cell yard, high-yield farming methods, land use and mapping by smart bots and drones is being taught right now in Queensland and Tunisia to be applied anywhere in the world. Part of the new centre is an innovative horticultural growth pod, and it addresses the need to condense agricultural footprints. The pod condenses the growing potential of 1,000 square metres to just 36 square metres. It would fit perfectly in your average suburban backyard. As a sustainability response, it consumes 90% less water and can grow green leafy vegetables indefinitely. Its internal ecosystems, watering, humidity, lighting, and even feeding, all happens on an app. Our taste students are learning all of this right now as part of their studies, ready for the future jobs in a rapidly changing industry. Workforce transformation is generational, and so it must start with our kids. At the start of the year, we opened 8 new schools, the most in more than 30 years. 5 more are being opened next year. One of those new schools, Pimpernel State School on the Gold Coast, will feature a specialist STEM centre. This means kids from prep to music will begin a head start on some of these foundational skills. And Pimpernel is just one of the multitude of state schools in Coolum Valley Dependents teaching and training students in STEM. We are giving our kids opportunity to access cutting-edge education now, ensuring that we can try and keep pace with the skills demands tomorrow and build that tech talent right here in Queensland that Alex talked about that we need so much. Our education system, of course, must also build pathways to industry. The Palaszczuk government has expanded our successful Gateway Industry Schools program to show students the kinds of jobs and industries which are available to them. Importantly, we've expanded our industry partnerships to growing industries like health and, as we said this year, information technology. Queensland is leading the nation with their schools, something I'm incredibly proud of. We have half of the nation's school-based apprentices and trainees right here in Queensland. We know how vital vocational education and training is going to be in meeting some of these skill shortages. 9 out of the 10 jobs predicted to grow the most will require vocational education and training. So embedding strong pathways, working with industries in those schools will ensure we have a skilled workforce that we need. But of course, government can't do this alone. As the Premier often says, we work better when we work together. We need strong partnerships in industry to skill up the next generation of workers, and this really was underpinned in the skills strategy for Queensland. We are listening to the seek to develop new training and techniques to respond to rapidly changing needs. In partnership with AI Group, our higher level apprenticeships are the next step up from traditional apprenticeships. They are an opportunity to layer specialized skills and knowledge with the traditional hands-on apprenticeship model. This higher level apprenticeship will offer on-the-job training experience, but at a higher level of skills and expertise, typically with a diploma outcome at the end. As we heard from Alex, under the current training system, it's frustratingly can take years to get a new training package up and running, and clearly with the pace of technology, it is not moving into today's needs. With rapidly developing technology, industry is looking for faster ways to upskill their workforce, which is why we announced a $5.5 million micro-credential requirement. These short pop-up certification style qualifications are designed to improve skills that are needed across a range of industries. We know from reports such as Deloitte's Department of Prosperity, Why the Future of Work is Human, that there are significant skill shortages in digital literacy and customer service which can be addressed through micro-credentials. In partnership with TAFE, the Foundation of Business Australia and the Central Queensland University, and the Queensland Tourism Industry Council, we will be delivering skills in digital literacy, cyber security, and digital data. And we're also working with NDIS providers to develop micro-credentialing with the growing NDIS workforce. In a shifting landscape, government must provide the industry with confidence to invest in skilling the next generation. This is why, through our free apprenticeship program, the Palaszczuk government is subsidising the cost of training for our business across 139 priority apprenticeships and traineeships. We are committed to this partnership, but we also need the support of the federal government to ensure our state's future workforce. I have to say, it's incredibly disappointing that the recent figures show that the federal government has been shortchanging TAFE and training by almost $1 billion. How do we invest in the future when we can't even meet the funding requirements that we need for our workforce today? However, to be fair, we have had some federal support on something that I am personally incredibly passionate about. The last year's Skills Ministers COAG meeting, they agreed to urgently review their student loans. Currently, it is actually more affordable to go to university without any upfront fees and a star loan than it is to go to TAFE. We absolutely need to put TAFE and university on an equal footing and make it affordable for students to access vocational education and training. So I'm looking forward to that. 20 years ago, Peter Beattie championed Queensland for Smart State, aiming to overhaul the traditional pillars of our economy and attract new knowledge-based industries to the state. Smart State was conceived in part as a response to the digital revolution that began with the latter part of the 20th century. Similarly, as we face this next workforce transformation, the Palaszczuk government is committed to creating more jobs in more industries. Government has the opportunity to be responsive to the changes that are happening now to ensure that all Queenslanders reap its benefits. Our future workforce will still have electricians, fitters, farmers and carpenters like my dad. However, with the rapidly changing technology, the type of job and the tools they use are being transformed. Today's farmer might one day be working as a hydrogen system installer, and our electricians will soon be using blockchain technology to manage electricity grids. Australia has often been described as the lucky country, but the key to unlocking Queensland's future economic potential is to be prepared and responsive. The Palaszczuk government has a plan to achieve that potential. We aren't leaving it up to